We want to take just a few minutes. What was going to be 10 minutes, now I'm asking for them to make 7 minutes due to the weather. And we're going to share just a couple encouragements about evangelism to you that you already know. Everybody in here, I know, would like to share the gospel. We get it. We know that it's tough, okay? We're probably not going to tell you a ton of stuff you don't already know, but if you'll listen fresh, just trust the Holy Spirit to stir your hearts with the Word of God and with some exhortation, okay? Go ahead. Jump on. You're first. Sorry, I didn't give you an order. And I've asked these guys to share the gospel, not because necessarily they're the greatest evangelists in the world, but they are sharing the gospel, have done that, and we just want to encourage you this morning with some personal stuff.
Luke chapter 5, starting in verse 1. On one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, and he saw two boats by the lake, but the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him to put a little out from the land, and he sat down and taught the people from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." And Simon answered, "Master, we toiled all night and took nothing, but at your word I will let down the nets." And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on you will be catching men." And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. Just a few notes from this passage to make mention of, and hopefully stir our minds up by way of a reminder. Note number one, Jesus asked to use Peter's boat at the most inopportune time. Peter had been out fishing all night long. He was tired, and he was washing his nets, ready to go home and take a little nap. And Jesus, at that point, asked to use his boat. That's when he usually asks us for the use of our time to evangelize and to share the gospel. When we're tired, when we're at the end of ourselves, when we've tried it on our own, and we haven't really accomplished much, Jesus comes in and takes over. Point number two, in verse 4, when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." As soon as the lecture was over, it was time for the practicum to begin. As soon as the lecture was over, it was time for the practicum to begin. And the time has come for us to get into practicum. The lectures are coming to an end. We'll still do the teaching. We're still going to do what we're going to do. But there comes a time for each one of us when Jesus gets done talking and he says, "Okay, it's time to go let your nets down. It's time to go do some work." So he's calling us in this season to step out, to go out into the deep waters that we've never been to before. It takes a step of obedient faith, and it often looks foolish and impossible. Daytime is the worst time for fishing. Nighttime is the best for professional fishermen. They had already washed their nets, and they were tired. So it took a step of faith to obey Jesus, and it usually does. When it's time to step out and evangelize and present the gospel, it usually feels foolish and like a big step of faith. Another point, Jesus did not get out of the boat and go to the shore and holler at them and tell them where to let down their nets. Jesus was where? He was in the boat with them. Jesus goes with us. Another point. Point number three, in verse 6, and when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish and their nets were breaking. Faith-filled obedience is always rewarded. This is a law in the kingdom of God. And if you don't hear anything else I say this morning, hear this. God will never ask anything of you or require anything from you that he's not willing to repay with loads of interest and overpayment like you can never imagine. And so remember, no one who leaves father, what does it say? Truly, no one who leaves house or wife or brothers or parents or children for the sake of the kingdom of God will not receive many times more in this time and in the age to come eternal life. And he gives us an example of how much more is God going to repay us for what we do. And it's probably a couple $100,000 worth of fish for Peter in our day's money for the use of his boat for an hour for teaching. You can't compare that. And so my last point is this. I want to leave you with this. The issue of rewards. Jesus says, no one who leaves house or family for the sake of the gospel will not fail to receive many times more in this life. That looks like a whole bunch of fish. And in the age to come, that looks like a whole lot of men. Because from now on, you will be catching men, he says to Peter. And so the reward that Peter got first was really great. It was all the fish for his boats. But the reward that he got second was even greater. And that's why he left all those fish and he left everything to follow Jesus. Because it was eternal souls that would get rewarded for in heaven. So I've been wanting to say this for a long time in a public place. I think I'm close to 7 minutes, but I want to say it now. I think the pyramid marketing schemes is a lot like what rewards are going to be like in heaven, in a good way, not in a bad way, in a good way. I'm not asking you to sign people up this morning. I believe that Paul got downline rewards for disciples that he made. And I get downline rewards in heaven because of disciples I make. And I've got a scripture to prove this, so you don't think I'm just, you know, making it up. 1 Thessalonians 2, chapter 2, verse 19 to 20. For what is our hope or joy or crown of boasting before the Lord Jesus at his coming? Is it not you, the Thessalonians, his disciples? Is it not you? You are our glory and joy. So Paul's disciples were his crown of boasting, his crown of victory before the Lord Jesus. When we bring someone to the Lord, lead them to Jesus, and disciple them, they become for us a crown of glory. And we get rewarded for that for ages to come. So that means a couple $100,000 worth of fish means less than nothing to Peter. He recognizes that from now on he'll be catching men for his glory, for his joy in the future, and Jesus will receive the glory from that. So Proverbs 11:30 says, whoever captures souls is wise. Whoever doesn't capture souls is not wise. If you're not capturing souls right now, you're not being wise. It's not because you're a bad child. It's because you're not wise. You don't understand that investing into other people coming into the kingdom will not be hugely beneficial for you and bring glory to the Lord ultimately. Whoever captures souls is wise. So the last verse I'll leave you with is this sweet promise out of Daniel chapter 12. And those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the sky above. And those who turn many to righteousness will be like the stars forever and ever. There is great reward for letting Jesus use our boats. There is great reward both in this life and in the age to come. We can't imagine what it will be like, but it will be very great.
So I'm a little curious when the Lord starts doing something and shifting a season for us as a body. I'm a little curious of how you guys deal with this. Like when Sam starts talking about making a call to practical evangelism, I'm just a little curious of how you guys process this and how you go about either agreeing with or being in agreement with or being in disagreement with or what happens with you. So for me, when something like this happens, I start to pray about it and think about it and meditate on it and ask Jesus if this is if this is what he's doing. You know, no offense to Sam. I love Sam, and I trust Sam, and he's a father in the faith to me, but Jesus is the one that I'm following, not Sam. So when stuff like this comes up, I'm like, okay, Lord, what are you saying? What are we doing? What is this? And so in praying and thinking about this call to practical missioning together and practical evangelism as disciples of Jesus and as living stones. There you go. I just had to say it. Jesus asked me two questions. The first question, he said, why do I not evangelize? To me, he's asking me, why, in the moments that I don't evangelize, why do I not do it? And I'm like, okay, well, let's sit down because this list is pretty long. There are 100 different reasons of why I don't evangelize, why I don't share the gospel with somebody. Either the situation's too awkward for me, I'm just too lazy, I don't like people. this is all true, like I'm being honest here. I don't feel qualified to share the gospel with somebody else. I don't feel led to in that moment. You know, I can make that excuse of, well, the Spirit's not leading me to do this right now, so I'll just wait till another time. I'm selfish. My personality is as more of an introvert that really just doesn't like to be around a lot of people. That I just don't know what to say. I don't want to be rejected. I don't want to fail. Like, I want it to be a success, and I feel like if they don't respond the way I want them to respond in that moment, that I've failed in sharing the good news of Jesus. And all of these things, and the list just keeps going on and on and on. I could spend the rest of the afternoon talking about all of the reasons why I don't share the gospel with other people. But Jesus stopped me and then asked me another question. What would it take for me to share the gospel? Like, what would need to happen for you to be in agreement with this and for you to do it? And I'm like, well, Jesus, if you tell me to do this, then I must do it. I have no other option because you're the Lord of my life. And Jesus said, I'm telling you to do it. And so we look at, and I know you guys have heard this 1,000 different times, but we look at Matthew 28, 18 through 20, and Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. And then again, just as another kicker here, if you don't believe Matthew, Mark 16:15, Jesus says, go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to all creation, to the whole creation. So there you go. I mean, Jesus is obviously saying this, and the one who has all power and all authority to say this, to ask us to do this, to ask us to give our lives to this, is Jesus. All power and authority in heaven and on earth has been given to him. So he's asking us with power and authority above anyone else that has ever walked the face of the earth to share about him. When I think about this, because for me personally, like I love to get in the face of another disciple of Jesus, someone who already is committed to Jesus, and I love iron sharpening iron against them. I love those one-on-one moments where I can sit down with a brother in the Lord and press into their life in Jesus, and they press back into my life in Jesus. And there's so much fruit and life in that, and that's part of the living stone to living stone thing that I'm so about. But there's a thing, there's this thing that happens that if that's all we do together as the body, if we learn to together really well and we never get outside of that, what happens? There's no genuine multiplication. There may be fruit that grows in your life, but there's no genuine multiplication of the fruit of Jesus' kingdom inside of you overthrowing the lives of those around you. And so that's what, for me, that's what this push in practical evangelism, it's not about, okay, you've got to go and you've got to do this the right way in the right timing to the right people. It's, we've just got to learn how to make this a part of our life. Like, this has to be a natural part of the way that the Lord has taught me and built me to have life with a body around me and make that a a natural part of my life where I can't think about not living with the body around me. Like, it's not an option for me. You know, I can't. Okay, I really, I know I've said this before. I'd really like to buy an island somewhere and live right in the middle of it, away from everyone else. I don't know why. I just, it's just, I'm weird. I would like to do that, but I can't do that. Like, I could never really do that and have joy and fulfillment in my heart because I have to have the body around me. And so as natural as that is for me to desire that and want that and to be around that, it's got to be a natural desire in us to want to share Jesus with everyone we meet. Or, you know, at least talk about Jesus. Revelation says that they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Like, we make this so complicated because we're like, okay, I've got to have this Romans road to salvation down. I've got to have the right verses. I've got to put them in the right order. I've got to make sure they say the right thing back to me so I know it's genuine. And the fact of the matter is that's just not true. Like, for you to share about Jesus and to share the good news of Jesus is for you to share the testimony of Jesus in your life. Who is Jesus to you? If someone just came up to you and asked you point blank, who is this Jesus that you follow? Who is he to you? All you have to do is, in simplicity and honesty and messiness and in weakness, tell them about who Jesus is to you, what he's done for you, what you believe him to be. It's that simple. It really is. And so just a couple more things, and then I'll shut up. The thing about this is that I honestly don't know what this looks like. Like, I honestly don't. I'm not very good about sharing the gospel with people. I'm really not. Like, I've done it, and every time that I've done it and I pushed through that awkwardness in the moment and really shared who Jesus was with another individual, every single time I was filled with the Spirit and I loved it. Like, there was nothing in that moment. There was nothing else on the planet that I would rather be doing than talking with this individual about Jesus. Like, it was just, it was like I had nothing else to do. All time stopped, all priorities of everything else was gone because I was talking about Jesus with this other individual. Like, I've had those moments. But it's pressing in through that awkwardness to actually get to those moments. And on the other hand, I want to be totally honest with you guys, and this makes me feel like a horrible believer, a horrible disciple in Jesus. But out of all of those moments, I can't think of in the last, I'm not very good at math, so hang on for a second. Yeah, you know, don't you? So in the last, what, like 23 years of being a believer in Jesus, out of all the times that I've shared Jesus with someone one-on-one, you know, went through the whole deal of this is who Jesus is, this is who he is to me, da, 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 this is what he's done. Out of all of those moments, none of those moments have ended with me in a wholehearted answer to discipleship to Jesus. Like, none of those moments have ended where I have gained a wholehearted disciple in Jesus in those moments. Like, it's just, I've never had it. I never had, and not to say that none of those people have gone on and not become believers in Jesus, but in that specific moment, you know, because that's what I expect, that's what I want. I'm like, man, if I'm going to do this, if I'm going to press through the awkwardness, then I want, at the end of it, I want this person to be in tears and saying, I love Jesus and I can't do anything else without him. Let's do this. I'm all in for Jesus. Like, that's what I want every single time I share the gospel. I'm like, I want them to know Jesus and to lay down their life for him right then and there. Do what? Nobody left their fish. Yeah, nobody left their fish. And so that's never happened for me. But I'm not going to let that steal my hope or my faith in the worthiness of Jesus, of the lives of everyone around me. And I'm not going to let that stop me from learning how to do this. So my last thing to say is, I'm not good at this and I need help. Like, I know that you all know, if you're a disciple of Jesus, you know the good news. Like, if you didn't, you wouldn't be a disciple of Jesus. So you can't say, well, I don't know how to share the gospel because I don't know what to say. Well, if you don't know what to say, then you're probably not a disciple of Jesus, because you have to know the gospel in order to respond to Jesus. So you know. Like, we can't say we don't know what to say, because it's been said to us. It's been laid in our hearts by the Spirit in us. But how do I practically walk this out? Like, how do I do this on a regular basis? How do I make this a priority in my life? And I can't do it. I can't do it without you. I can't do it without the body of the living stones around me in agreement and accountability. And I believe that's to me, that's the push of what the Lord is doing in this season. Is we all know this. We all know that Jesus is saying to do this. We all know that we have it in us and the Spirit in us to do it. We need the accountability of the body around us to make it happen. So this is me agreeing in obedience and faith that that this is the call of Jesus on our lives. To be disciples that make disciples. To be submitted to the and walk as living stones, being built up on mission together. Like, I need the body around me to be on mission with me, because I don't know how to do it. And I can't do it on my own.
So, Jonathan, Amway evangelism, go for it. It's going to pay downline. Stop waiting on a word. You got a word. You got a word right here. And you don't have to be good at this. You just get, and we need accountability. We need the body together. Dina, I'm going to do what I did last night, and nothing you have is going to work. So, a couple things. We've been praying. We're doing this because we've been praying daily for the spirit of evangelism, for a harvest kind of thing to happen in our area. So I believe that in the spirit, God is setting up divine appointments for you to share the gospel. I think you're going to be more joyful when you share the gospel. You're going to have, I think it's going to be normal. It's going to be, you're going to be blessed. I don't think anybody's going to be unhappy by this. So I have only two keys to tell you. Number one, I think we need more passion for souls, because I think it's our ambivalence about people's lives that causes us not to care about it. We've talked about it before. The guy who wrote from England, one of the main reasons we don't have revival is we can live without revival. One of the main reasons we don't have souls being saved is we can live without souls being saved. And so praying for passion to be in your heart. And number two, to pray to be free from the approval of man. This story's a little older. Some of you are new. You've heard this, but let me just do it real quick, because this tells the story. I'm going to do a 45-minute story in 3 minutes. I started praying back about 5-6 years ago for more and more passion for evangelism. That culminated on a Saturday evening where I was during the afternoon. I had a burning desire to share the gospel, and I felt like I'm going to freak out if I don't share the gospel. That's not good. I felt the tension inside me. So I started walking the neighborhood looking for anybody to share the gospel with, because it's not my normal deal. I'm not a normal guy. My brother shares the gospel all the time with every patient. He's just a normal guy that does that. I don't do it. So I was like, but I was moving. So I'm stalking people in their yards and on their porches, and I'm looking and looking, and people are making odd contact, eye contact, and looking away from me. I walk around town. I walk all the way blocks and blocks and blocks, and nothing. I don't have the courage. I can't do it. They're walking away from me. I end up by a bar. I thought, I'm going to go in the bar. Nah, I didn't have the courage. People are stumbling in and out. I just couldn't do it. So I end up back on my porch and went, well, dude, here I am again. Another failure. You know, here I am, gospel guy, but I got this churning in my heart. I got to share the gospel. So I was going, I really was frustrated. I can't exaggerate enough how much I was feeling an emotional thing happen in my heart of passion to share the gospel. And I'm looking from my porch, and I can see the hospital. And the Lord says, sick people in the hospital, go to the hospital. So I walk down the hospital. It's 2 blocks. I go in. I walk up to the 3rd floor. I don't know why. I punch number 3 on the elevator. I get off, and I see a guy I know, and I go, show me a room. Remember this story? And he says, go to that room. Nobody's seeing that guy. So I walk in. There's an old man named Jim, an old man in a bed. I go, hey, I'm Sam. What's your name? He says, I'm Jim. And we have arguably the most awkward conversations ever happened on planet Earth. I go, great, Jim. So how you doing? Well, I'm in the hospital. Not good. How's your wife? Not good. She's in another hospital. Da, da, da. I'm going, oh, okay. So, hey, how, you live here in town? Yeah, I do. Live over by the pool. Really? Great. Who, who's watching your house? Because both of you are gone. And he's like, yeah, well, no, you know, I have some friends every now and then. Look, who's mowing your yard? I swear I asked him who mows his yard. I don't know why he said that. I'm doing everything I can do not to share. I'm so nervous of what Jim's going to think of me. And I've got the best news on my, I've got really good news. And I got passion, and I'm so worried about what Jim thinks of me. And so I had this awkward deal, and I literally threw the white flag in after about 7 awkward questions. He's looking at me, I'm looking at him, and I just walk out of the room. Okay, good, have a good evening. And I leave, and I go home, and my just, ah. And if anybody remembers, the next Sunday, I preached that next morning about my failure in evangelism. Just failure. Well, that afternoon, I was like, I'm not gonna just quit on that deal. I'm going back up this afternoon. So I left a football game or whatever was going on, and I go in, and I walk in the hospital. I go to the third floor. I'm going to go in the room, and the lady, I notice, I look in, and it's empty. I go, what's the deal? Where's Jim? And they go, oh, he's gone. I'm like, oh, he died and went to hell, and it's my fault. You know, it's my fault. I'm going through all this stuff. And then they go, no, he didn't die. He went to some place over in West Wichita, and they shouldn't have told me HIPAA rules and all that, I think, but I acted like a chaplain and like I was official, which I halfway was, and they told me where it was in West Wichita. So I go home, I pray on Sunday, Monday, I get my car, I go over there, and I found the guy. I found him, and so I walk in the room. I go, hey, you remember me? And the dude goes, yeah, I remember you. I go, you remember? I'm Sam. He goes, yeah, I know. He goes, I know you're the guy I thought had come to rob me. And I said, come to rob you? Because you were asking all those questions about my house and who's watching my house. I went, oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. That is what I did. I'm so sorry, but I didn't come to rob you. I came to hear about the state of your soul. I wanted to know if you're a Christian, if you knew Christ, if you know about Jesus. He goes, oh yeah, I know about Jesus, and yeah, I know all about him. And I go, oh, that's great. I go, all this stuff I've done, I've been chasing you and finding you, and you already know him, and you've already been born again. And he goes, no, wait, I know about Jesus, but what's born again? What are you talking about? He goes, I don't know how to do that. How do you do that? And I'm like, yes, you know, so I was able to share the gospel and about his sin and about righteousness, and I led him through the prayer, and he was born again right there in that hospital room. Now, my point in that story is this, is that I had both those things happening. I had passion working in me and really worried about what Jim thought of me. I was really worried and having to break the junk of, you know what I mean? But before that, I don't have a lot of passion. So here's my encouragement. Please pray for passion for souls. Please make a regular go. Lord, I admit, I kind of want people not to go to hell. But would you cause me to love people like you love people? Would you transform my heart and cause me to love souls? And ask him to do that, because I promise you he'll do it. He's done it in my heart, and there's an increase that's by the grace of God. And ask and repent for all the fear about man's approval that's in your life. Because we're so worried about dying people, what they think of us, if we're cool or not cool or whatever. Sharing the gospel is one of the easiest things to do. Listen, if when the Warriors are doing good and Steph Curry scored another 45 points, I talk to everybody. It's just so easy. The Shockers, oh my God, it's so easy when I'm excited about something. And it's kind of crazy that this thing happens, but it's because of the warfare in our life, isn't it? And so I don't want you to move from ought and guilt, because I don't think much gets done from there. We just don't do it more and then feel more guilty and more oughty, you know? And so I just want to encourage you to ask the Lord to transform your heart with passion for souls and for you to be free from their opinion. And understand this, Paul said, if I was preaching the gospel, if I was looking for man's approval, I wouldn't be a servant of Jesus, in Galatians 1:10. If I was looking for man's approval, I wouldn't be in on this. And listen, he promises you, it's going to be good when they say yes to Jesus. That's going to be fun. But when they say no to Jesus and rebuke you and think you're a nerd, you're a dork, and are mad at you, that's also a blessing Jesus guarantees. Blessed are you when you're persecuted for righteousness' sake and for my name's sake. So as my brother loves to tell me, this is a win-win for us. It's win-win. They either like you and like your message and receive it, and that's fun, or they reject you and then you get blessed. Because when you suffer for him, it's a good thing. So I want to encourage you to pray for that, to ask the Lord, because I think if all of us admitted, we'd say, a little ambivalent about this whole deal. Our neighbors, I love it that it would drive us crazy seeing them in and out. We cannot live until they go to heaven with us. Tim talked about a secretary of his, that Tim's just an evangelist and stirs that up around people. One of his secretaries is, he heard her sharing the gospel. He spent time with her and stirring her up, and now she's sharing the gospel with someone. She heard someone's, one of the secretaries say to one lady, "I just can't imagine going to heaven without you. I just can't imagine," and she meant it like from her heart, "I can't imagine going here without you." And it was like, oh, that's, I love that. It's so real. Like, I got to have your soul going with me. It's not okay for me if something else happens. Amen. So, Kingdom Amway, God's already spoke to us. Pray for passion and pray for freedom from man's approval. And listen, there's no tricks here. There's no tricks. I just told a story. That's my little story. I've got a few more of those. They're kind of hilarious. I've got to Jesus through soup at Jacob's Well. I've got to Jesus through a business guy's computer, something. You can get to Jesus 1,000 different ways. Just get in there, start listening and talking. There's no tricks to this. It's so easy. But it's got to, you don't learn unless you do this. And so I just want to encourage you to kind of be accountable and to stir yourself up and go for it. Go for it, because what's the worst that's going to happen? 12 people say no. But you shared the best news on the planet and you get blessed. Amen? Great. Are you cold? Let's all stand up and let's pray and get out of here. I love you, I love you, I love you. We're going to pray every morning for you. We're praying, praying, praying that God would fill your heart, that you'd see the divine appointments, and God would bless you and you'd have the joy of sharing the gospel. Father, thank you in Jesus' name for this morning. I just love these people. I love your people. We pray for blessing upon them. We pray for, Lord, you're stirring them up and do something organic and real and raw, and in the midst of the mess of who we are, we just praise you that your kingdom comes with power and that you transform people's lives. And so, Lord, thank you for all of our stories. Restore to us the joy of our salvation, we pray. I pray that you remind us of our stories, that we would go for eternal reward, and that, Lord, we'd be free from man's approval. God, just the addiction to needing people to like us. I pray that we truly love people by being free from their opinion. And so we love you. We thank you for the word this morning. Pray you sow this in and use us for your glory this week. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God.